It was a curious beginning to the season when autumn came in a fiery flash of brilliant red leaves overnight. Seattle had been experiencing blue skies and green leaves until, on the Ides of October, every leaf blazed vermilion. It was at that moment that I, Charlotte Winship, had the overwhelming sensation that death would soon take someone close to me. A nagging darkness hovered in the corners that morning. I tried to brush it aside as I opened the windows to let in the crisp air, but nothing could erase the feeling of grief that came with the violent red reflections of the trees. Of one thing I was sure: death would come. After all, it is the one thing in the world that is unfailingly non-negotiable. It wasn't only the hovering darkness that had me fidgeting through the morning. A strong sense of dread had come over me. I felt I was being pulled back to my childhood home and birthplace, Port Townsend, Washington. 3 years earlier, I'd left in hope of creating a new life for myself in Seattle, where no one had heard of my family and their strange gifts. Until the day of the red leaves, all had gone well with my anonymity. I lived in a small house with my boyfriend, James. I had a jewelry studio where I created gemstone adornments for local stores, and I had a nice group of ordinary friends who had no inkling of my unique vision of the world. The ghosts of my youth were neatly tucked away where no one in my new life bothered to snoop. But now, an inexplicable notion of coming disaster invaded my perfectly normal new life. The day wore on and the darkness inched closer. As the orange sunset tore a gash across the Seattle skyline, I was near panic. Later, when I crawled into bed next to James, my heart was pounding so loudly I was sure it would wake him. Instead, I fell into a deep sleep. That was when the dream came on black feathered wings. It stole in the moment I drifted to where the veil between worlds was thinnest, a dark angel in the room with me. It whispered secrets of destruction and turmoil. It told me to go home. My eyes shot open and a surge of adrenaline flooded my body as I lay frozen under the warm blankets. I heard James's melodic breathing next to me, the only sound in the perfect stillness of our bedroom. I glanced at the bedside clock. The neon dial read 3 a.m. I got out of bed and swiftly made my way to the kitchen. I knew the phone was about to ring. My hand hovered over the receiver, waiting to catch the call before it could wake James. If my intuition was right, I'd be making the ferry ride and drive to Port Townsend as soon as I got the phone call announcing tragedy. Cold sweat from the dream chilled me, and a pulling sensation, like a thread attached to my navel, called me back home. The house creaked as it settled in the early autumn morning, leaving me shivering in the darkness as I waited to hear my mother's voice on the phone. I had always known I'd eventually have to return home. It was as if the tides pulled at me, insisting I was meant to live in that odd corner of the world, situated on the tip of the Olympic Peninsula, with only the cold Pacific Ocean Straits separating it from Canada. Port Townsend was originally slated to be a major U.S. port when it was officially founded in 1851. Initially, people called it the City of Dreams, with lofty visions of a prosperous future. The town dressed up in Victorian finery, waiting for a party that never arrived when the Great Depression hit and the Pacific Railroad stopped construction in Seattle. From that moment on, Port Townsend became a ghost town in many senses of the word. The ornate homes were lived in and passed from one generation to the next, like hand-me-down clothes. But the downtown area was boarded up, with the exception of the town saloons, where bootleggers hid barrels of liquor in the old Shanghai trap doors, and the locals drank away their worries along with their hopes and dreams. If it hadn't been for the sudden influx of wealthy residents in the 1970s, the town would surely have disintegrated into termite-ridden dust. Even with the new determination to make the town a landmark, the long years of isolation had left it turned in on itself. Locals were wary of newcomers, and tourists were seen as both a blessing and a curse.